Okay, we're going to go to our final case of the evening. This is from Dr. Hussein. This is one of the most common questions in practice, is hormonal management of the premenopausal patient, specifically the premenopausal patient who stops menstruating with chemotherapy. 46-year-old premenopausal woman, 5 years ago, diagnosed with a 2.2 centimeter ER/PR positive HER2 negative tumor, one positive node. She gets lumpectomy, chemotherapy with TAC, and radiation therapy, and in addition to that, then start on tamoxifen. So here's Dr. Hussein describing the situation.
The patient took tamoxifen. She stopped menstruating after the second cycle of chemotherapy. She had hot flashes. Other than that, she tolerated tamoxifen very well. She had a bone density during this treatment that showed a T-score in the T-spine and the hip of around minus 2.1, which is osteopenia. She was on and off Fosamax with vitamin D and calcium, not really consistently on it because she wouldn't tolerate it from GI symptoms. The patient is going to be 5 years on tamoxifen next month. And the question now is what to do with her in terms of anti-estrogen extended adjuvant therapy since she has not had a menstrual cycle now for 5 years.
And we'll just add in that at this point, on tamoxifen, her blood work shows that her FSH and LH levels are low, under 25, and her estradiol level is 38. So the patient comes to you in this situation, just completing her fifth year of tamoxifen, not having had any menstrual periods since chemotherapy. What would you specifically likely recommend to this woman? Keep the tamoxifen going, check the blood work, stop the tamoxifen, it's persistently postmenopausal, then start the AI, no further endocrine therapy or other. Rowan?
Menopause's definition is permanent cessation of menstruation, an attribution made in retrospect following 12 months of amenorrhea, not due to other factors. And that would be any intervening things like chemotherapy. My answer in this patient would be to do an oophorectomy and continue and give the AI. Basically, in a 46-year-old, I'd be less concerned about pregnancy, so I might be willing to do ovarian suppression in an AI. In a 35-year-old, I would not be willing to do ovarian suppression and an AI, and basically would rather not continue the AI rather than use ovarian suppression in that setting.
Thanks, Rowan. Let's see what happened or what Dr. Hussein decided to do.
I'm going to stop the tamoxifen, and I'm going to repeat those blood tests 3 months later. I am not in a hurry to start aromatase inhibitor immediately. One, because of the blood test. Second, because of the bone density. I need to convince her. She needs to be on anti-osteopenia medication. If the blood tests come as postmenopausal and she agrees to take something for bone, I will give her letrozole.
The thought about oophorectomy, I think, is interesting, Rowan. People just gnash their teeth a lot about what to do in this situation, particularly the concerns about whether it's going to be adequate suppression. John, what are your thoughts about management in this situation? What do you think about the strategy off study of doing an oophorectomy at this point and given an AI?
Well, Joyce has already made the point you've got greater certainty about the efficacy of the AI after an oophorectomy. We long ago gave up radiotherapeutic ablation of the ovary because of the uncertainty, and it's just more definitive, so that would be my approach.
What about the question about the ATLAS data that were presented? Do we know anything even off the record about endometrial cancer, for example, or what else is going on toxicity-wise?
Nothing much with respect to toxicity. You'd expect thrombosis to continue in the extended tamoxifen arm for sure, and probably endometrial cancer risk. That would also be likely. We're talking about small differences here. 12% reduction may be an important difference if it's confirmed. We just need more events in that. Rowan's comment about the carryover effect being limited to 5 years, that's actually for tamoxifen, if that's true.
Yes.
The curve's parallel there. The AI, given all the other comparators that we've got of biological effect, is likely to be a longer duration of carryover than tamoxifen was.
Is there anybody on the panel who would continue tamoxifen beyond 5 years in a premenopausal woman who's still menstruating? Cliff?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, I'm looking forward to what the ATLAS trial eventually shows, but not only do we have the NSABP data that led to the clinical alert stopping at 5 years, but we also have some biological plausibility to the hypothesis that stopping tamoxifen is an active therapy. Earlier in the program tonight, you even asked about Paul Goss's proposal for rotating therapies, and I just don't know the answer, and I want to first do no harm, so I would stop at 5 years.
Well, I mean, I understand that we don't have data on toxicity, but it looked to me like putting everything together, best guess, maybe you have an ER-positive patient that you're going to get a 15% reduction in relapse rate with tamoxifen. Do you think that's the case, Cliff?
I think it may turn out to be the case, but I am always humbled by what randomized trials really show compared to what we predict.
In what situations, if any, would you come up with some type of post-5-year strategy off study for a premenopausal? Do you just stop tamoxifen, period, and that's it?
Until this meeting, I have simply stopped hormone therapy at 5 years.